Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted.
Good morning, KKXX listeners. How are you doing this morning? Welcome to Christ Today, where we encourage, inform, and uplift. Our guest today for the radio show is Fertina Dawson. You heard me correctly, Fertina Dawson. Now, somebody out there might be going, isn't it Tina Dawson? Well, it is, but she goes by Fertina. So I'm going to have her say hello.
Hi, this is Tina.
She's on today, and we're going to start with asking her a few questions and having her give you guys some really awesome information about herself. So, Tina, give us a little bit about your upbringing as a child and what brought you to where you are today.
I was raised in Los Angeles to the age of 7, and then my parents divorced, and my mom moved us to Pasadena, Altadena area. And she was in the field of cytogenetics lab technologist, and my dad was a professional welder who did a lot of fancy welding work. And I was a mischievous child. I was always in trouble. I was the kid that would put plastic or wax food in your lunch, or I stuffed a frog one time in my mom's tailpipe. I snapped pictures as she walked out of the shower. I swapped all the stuff out of her wallet and purse and stuffed it with paper and stuffed it in the glove compartment of the car. Interchanged all the socks out of the dryer. And then I know she got mad at me one time. I used her credit card to go buy flowers. So I was pretty mischievous, but I also was a child that was insecure. And I always never felt love, so this was my way to get attention. I had been child molested, and then in my teenage years, I had been raped. And there were a lot of things that I just did not tell anyone because I had been threatened. So I carried this a lot in my life, a long time. My mother had started me at piano lessons at 6, and she took me to a professional by the time I was age 9. And she had saw that I had a talent, but I was still very insecure about my talent. I didn't feel that this is what I really wanted to do because I really loved dancing instead. But she kept pushing me, and through my high school years, no one knew that I played in high school. My mom told her friends that I played the piano and that I was really good at it. And I started writing music about age 11, 14, kind of focused during that time of writing instrumental songs. And I was raised classical music, so basically I knew Brahms and Beethoven and Chopin and Sibelius, and raised in a household where my mom loved Frank Sinatra, Johnny Mathis, Andy Williams. But yet when I would go to my dad's house, it was like Chuck Berry, B.B. King, Bill Haley, The Temptations. So I had a broad sense of music, but I still love the classical sound of music.
When did you discover your talent for playing? I mean, you already talked about how you got involved in music and stuff, but when did you really get the liking for doing the worship like you're doing today?
Not until, I would say, maybe like 20, 25 years later. Both my parents had died within 10 years apart from each other, and I was still playing music. I was still just playing classical music and playing at parties, but I had not known that it was God that was calling me to do this, because I had owned a bakery, I had owned a restaurant, and yet music, I was always drawn back to music. When I left Southern California and moved to the North State, and I went to a small church called Harvest Christian Center, Pastor Rob Key told me that I had an anointing on my life, and I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't want to play for a worship team. I basically was like, well, I don't want to play for a church. And he's like, no, we need you here. And I went ahead and decided, and I was still kind of stubborn about it. I was very stubborn about playing for God. I just didn't feel that was worth playing, because I would watch other worship teams play music, and I thought, wow, they're so cool. I don't think I could ever get to that level. So I had a lot of doubt of myself and what God wanted me to do. But it hit me in 2003 when I realized that when I led worship and people were crying and they were weeping, and I thought, I didn't do that. I just brought the music. That's all I did. I brought the music, and God had touched every person in the room. And everybody was coming to me saying, wow, you did wonderful worship. And I realized that there is something that God had placed in me that I still needed to search and find.
So having played as you played and having the anointing on you as you have on you when you do music, what would you describe as the difference between gifted people, like we talked about last night, and anointed people? How would you describe the difference, and how do you know that you have an anointing and not just a gift?
Well, actually, I think I have both, because my gift was that I could play. I could sit down and I can actually play music, but when I would do worship, it's like I surrender everything. I empty myself of everything. Nothing else matters but worship to God. And my job is to draw people closer to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. My life is consistent and is committed to worship. I'm not, you know, here to put anybody down, but people that just sing songs, just run through the songs. They don't inspire. They don't bring heaven to earth. It's just more you're rushing through. And I want to bring heaven to earth. I want us to be impacted by the love of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord dwells where he wants, and he touches who he wants, and he can change the atmosphere in a second. And I'm calling heaven to earth.
Talking about impacting people and bringing heaven to earth, how has your life been impacted? Want to give us a little bit of a brief synopsis of your testimony, how you really came to know the Lord?
I came to know the Lord after my mom had passed away in 1991. I accepted the Lord in 1994. I was going through just grieving her death and responsibilities of handling the state and the business, and it was just a lot. And I even had considered committing suicide. I remember sitting on the floor and had a bottle of wine and some aspirin and thought, you know, this is it. I can't deal with life anymore. And I thought I would send my son to my aunt and uncle, and there was an evangelist on TV, and it was Ever Living Faith, and I can't remember the pastor's name right now, but it was Crenshaw Christian Center in Los Angeles, and he had brought my heart to a point where he said, God knows you, he knows who you are, and he loves you, and he needs you to be a part of his kingdom, a part of his life, and it's not going to be easy if you decide to make this decision to become a Christian. And he says, give your life to Christ. And then their address came up, and I went down to where they were in Los Angeles and went to the church. Within that second week, I accepted Christ. I got baptized the following week. And I felt a change. I felt that God knew I needed to get rid of the bakery that I owned. And he sent someone to come and give me cash to buy the bakery I owned. And I was like, wow. I had gotten married, and I married the wrong person. I ended up in a relationship. I ended up in the North State. And God has just led my life from that point on, recognizing that he has something for me, where it says Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I made for you, you know, to prosper you. I'm paraphrasing here. Uh-huh. I just realized, you know, looking back over my life, even though I made some wrong turns, wrong decisions, he still put me back on the same path of where he wanted me to be.
That's amazing, listeners, what our God will do, how our God can do that. Even when we least expect it, we're screwed up from the head up to the toe down, or from the toe down to the head up, God can take us and change us and turn us around. Well, she just doesn't do music, and she just doesn't do worship. But she's into letting the Spirit lead her in worship. And I want her to share about what the difference is between just getting up and singing and doing a song versus really knowing that the Spirit is really leading a service, leading worship, because she's experienced a couple things, and hopefully she'll share one of those things with you that she shared with me recently about Spirit-led worship.
There was a time that my daughter and I were homeless in Chico for about 6 months because it was due to my disobedience. And I was listening to other people, you should do this, you should do that. And in doing what I did, I didn't listen to God. I still was feeling very insecure, very doubtful about what God still wanted me to do. So during that time of homelessness, he had to place me in a place that he could get my attention for me to do what he wanted me to do. And during that time, I learned to just surrender. I learned to surrender to him that, like I said, nothing in this world mattered. And so for me, it's singing a song, the gospel to the poor, to heal and restore, proclaim freedom to the captives, open blind eyes, set people free, and bask in his glory. You know, God has poured this anointing on me, and I love God more than I love my own life. And I love others as I love myself. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is given through people to demonstrate God's love and power. And that's what I do. I just say, God, speak to me. What is it that you want me to tell your children? And sometimes it may not even be about the children. It could be about one child. When people do worship and do songs, it isn't about us. It's about God. It's about the glory. It's about giving him all the glory and power and honor. And I can't just sing a song without having the passion that I have for God and the love I have for God. And when other people do sing songs and they just rush through them, it kind of bothers me that, you know, maybe they're not experienced enough, but you can't ignore God. He's amazing.
What an amazing God we serve. And not only is he amazing, he's more than wonderful. You know, I am sitting here listening to you, and one of the things I wanted you to share is the church that you were at recently where the pastor said something to you. It got your attention, and then you understood what he was saying, and it really spoke to your spirit. You want to talk about that?
Oh, I know there's one point where a lady from Bethel up in Reading had told me that there was anointing that was on my life, and that no matter what I did in my life, this anointing was always going to be there. I mean, a lot of people have an anointing. It doesn't mean that's music or whatever. They don't follow through with it. They don't know really what to do with it. And sometimes they even ignore it. And God did not want me to ignore it. I've had other people pray over me and say that there's music from your head down to your toe. I can see it. I see your ministry growing in your worship. And I have the ministry of the banqueting table where I go out and I feed the homeless, but we bring them in. It's just been exciting of people telling the truth over me, and it comes to life.
That's the thing about prophecies and God's word. If it's for real, it'll come to pass. Sometimes we block it. Sometimes we hinder it. Sometimes our unwillingness to surrender and let God be our life and us trying to live our life and do everything we're caught up in doing, we miss what he's trying to show us. Therefore, the impact isn't as it could be if we were more surrendered to his will. And from talking to you, you have learned to become surrendered to his will. Do you want to share a little bit about that? How God has brought you through lessons of where you've learned total surrenderance and where you are today?
Yeah. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called Sjogren's, and I also have a thyroid disorder. And so the doctors are saying, you know, they really didn't know what's wrong with me. And they would send me to UC Davis. And they just did not know what to do with me. And I was at a point where, you know, the drugs they were giving me just didn't work for me. I was feeling sick and weak. And I isolated myself away from society. I didn't go out that much except to go to church and then come home, go to work. I kind of lived in my bed because I found out I was a vitamin D deficiency. And so when the doctor said, we don't know what to do with you. And so I fell on my knees and I prayed and I said, Lord, I'm surrendering everything to you about this autoimmune disease that has plagued my body. And I felt God like touch me. I felt his warmth. I don't have a lot of the symptoms. I have, I guess, the prognosis of it, but I don't have the symptoms where it debilitates you from walking and things like that. I do have a little bit of dry mouth and a little bit of dry eyes. But someone had came over and touched me and said, God wants you to go natural. So I've been loading up with omegas, and I've been loading up with vitamin Ds and some Chinese herbs and things like that, and learning to surrender to God, because he has the answer. And if you don't hear him, he will send somebody who will tell you what is going on. And it's just that we have to have our ears open. I'm not putting any doctors down or anything, but I'm saying sometimes our bodies are designed to go naturally with the design of, you know, what God has made.
That is accurate. That is so accurate. Sometimes we have to do things much differently than what we're used to. Sometimes we pay to take advice that we wouldn't take otherwise, and sometimes God is trying to show us things, and we're so used to thinking, well, if I did it this way, it would work. But when we do it this way, it doesn't work. And listeners, last week and a couple weeks ago, I was talking to you about health and about doing things natural for your health. I'm not against medications if that's what's assigned to you, but I'd really look in, because sometimes medications do more damage than good. And the natural way to do it, to go, there's vitamins out there, there's supplements out there, there's a lot of good products and programs out there for remedies that will help you. And I'm not saying to ignore doctors. I'm not saying to not go to doctors. But our faith is what really we should be dependent on, our faith in Christ, and use the doctors and the hospitals and the medications as a last resort. Anyways, Tina has written quite a few songs, and last night she had shared with me one song that she'd written, and I want her to kind of talk a little bit about some of the songs she's written, including that one, and give you a little bit of information on her song that God has given her.
I love to write instrumental songs. I love the way that each instrument plays to enhance the other instruments. And because of my classical background, God has been pouring music on me for such a long time. Love songs and praise songs and worship and battle songs. And there was a book that was written by Ken Winton called Remember Who You Are. During that time, I was unemployed for almost 2 years. I couldn't pay doctor's bills. I didn't qualify for Medi-Cal, even though it was unemployment. I didn't qualify. It was just my daughter and I, and you know, we're trying to feed each other. My rent's like $900, and my unemployment check's $1,300. And by the time you pay rent and pay, you know, your car insurance and gas and food, we had little food. And yet God was faithful. But during the time that I was reading his book, there were parts in the book that highlighted that God loves me like he loves himself. He delighted in me, and he loved me when I couldn't love myself. And it was all about intimacy. And I couldn't love myself. I was sick. My hair was falling out. And I'm like, who's going to want anybody who's ugly as I am? And it's just the pity, you know, that pity party. And, but it said he delighted in me and he loved me when I couldn't love myself. And it just made me feel that, wow, the creator of the world could love me, the sick person who doesn't have a job and trying to find work and just miserable, couldn't pay medical bills. And all this guilt was falling on me. And I know that guilt is not of God. I was sitting down at the piano and just kind of going through things and realized that I loved Jesus. And then I said, I loved him more than 1,000 words. But words didn't feel right because I couldn't think of 1,000 words. But I loved him more than 1,000 times. And the song just came to me. It just flowed into my heart. And the words that came out of Ken's book really touched me. And then I'm, you know, reading scripture and feeling that this is what I needed to do.
So you were feeling, so basically you were feeling that prompting, that leading of the Spirit to do this particular song, or to make an album like you're getting ready to make and do concerts like you're getting ready to do? Explain exactly what it was that you're saying, what this is what you needed to do.
When I wrote the song More Than 1,000 Times, it was just my love for God. And then I realized that not only was it my love for Jesus, it was also other people's love for Jesus. And it was, when I did the song live, it was, you know, I felt like, well, maybe a lot of people don't love Jesus more than 1,000 times. So it wasn't that I was trying to like prepare for an album, or I just knew I loved this song, and I needed to get this song out to people who love Jesus. And the part where it says, "Forgive me, Lord, for the things I allow into my heart or in my mind and soul," those are things that you realize that you don't realize how much things get entered into your mind and in your heart. And I wanted to say, "Lord, I want to be forgiven. I want to walk in your love." And so it wasn't prepared like for me to do a CD or an album. It was just the one song.
I think one thing we all need to recognize and all need to come to an understanding of is no matter what, God loves us with an unconditional love. He sees us even in spite of our faults, our misunderstandings, and our wrongdoings or our wrong actions, and that we're loved unconditionally. And sometimes we don't see that. We don't understand that. I keep screwing up. How could God forgive me? I keep blowing it. I keep making mistakes. But you know what? His love was given when he gave his son at the cross. And you know, not very often may we think about the death of Christ. But if we recognize the death that he went through for us, everything's included in that death. Everlasting life, unconditional love, unmerited favor, God's grace, God's goodness. And when we understand that, then the desires come that we want to do things for the Lord. We're not under an obligation of, I must do this. We want to. The excitement's there. The love is there. Like Tina's talking about, the love that came for her to want to write music and this song 1,000 times. I heard it last night, and it's powerful. More than 1,000 times. It's a good song. And I really want her to share about what God is showing her for as of now and throughout what she sees for next year.
Well, I have exciting news. Some friends have set up a website for me that will be up soon. And God is placing people in my life that want to be a part of my life. Sometimes I would go ask people, could they do something for me? And it would be, well, I have this, I have that to do. And, you know, and I'm kind of put on the back burner. And so I asked God, I said, Lord, if you want me to do this ministry, you want me to go forward with what you want me to do, you need to bring people into my life that really see what I'm doing. And so he did. He brought someone in who can do a website for me. I'm going to start working on a praise and worship CD, including with inspirational instrumental music. And I'm going to have to start raising money for that. They're talking about doing a Kickstarter, which is a program where you can give money and then I give you something back in return, like a signed CD or first row seats at a concert, things like that. I'm going to start doing touring and booking gigs sometime next year. I think we're going to start in February. My plans for the banqueting table, I plan to do 3 next year. And I already have 1 location for sure, but the other 2, I'm still waiting on confirmation on that. There is a website called holybible.co. It's an awesome website that you can go to. It has all the scriptures, the Bible scriptures, and it's in like 15 or 17 different languages that is going to be linked through my website. And so I see God is doing wonderful things for me. I'm doing it slowly and I'm not rushing into anything. I'm just going to wait for him to do what he does all the time. And that's be faithful as I'm faithful to him.
The Bible says they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. And wait is a major, major lesson. If we can't wait, we'll never get anywhere. But we need to wait on God. And that's what she's talking about, waiting on God for him to show her what's next. But anyways, I want to go into something that I was talking with her about. And that is ministry in the church and really knowing, being able to sense things of God and know certain things that are of God, certain things that aren't of God. And when she's done worship, how she can see the flow where it's easy to flow with the Spirit and where it's also at times where it's such a struggle, yet she knows that she can hopefully get the people to enter in and push through that current that's holding them back from worship. I think she knows what I'm referring to. I'm going to have her talk a little bit about that.
Sometimes when we go to church and we still have everything that's happened throughout the week, it's still on us. It's, you know, my car didn't work or the kids were sick or there's financial trouble or there's sickness in the home or there's, you know, not enough of something, maybe not enough food. And when we go to church, And understand that worship is a lifestyle. It means that I can worship God at church and I can also worship God at home because we have a one-on-one relationship with God. It's a personal relationship. But a lot of times, if you don't have it during the week, you come to church and the music starts up and it's jumping. It's got you, you know, it's got me jumping. It's got the musicians going. And yet you look out in the congregation and they're all just staring at the words. No movement. And then it's like, I just keep playing the song until I can feel the Holy Spirit is entering in. I just keep playing it, going over it and over again until I can feel there's a breakthrough. And sometimes that breakthrough causes one person's arms to go up. Okay, or one person to start moving their body, or maybe someone grabs a flag. Just keep the song flowing and keep the music flowing. I don't try to stop in between any music. I keep the flow of the music going so that when you're doing worship, it's worshiping God, but you're also fighting against the darkness, the principalities, those things that Satan doesn't want you to enjoy your time with Christ. He wants you to just be woe is me kind of attitude. And it's like, it's a breakthrough when you just take your arms and you lift it up. It's like, don't let anybody steal your worship. Don't let Satan steal your worship. Don't let all the things of the world steal your worship. Extend your arms and put it up and say, I surrender to you, Jesus. I'm here. And there's times that I have gone into where God has allowed me or the Spirit, and I can feel it. It'll say things like, you know who I am. I am your Lord. I'm your King of Kings. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your Savior. You know, there's something of Jesus that belongs to you individually. You know, for me, he is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is all those things to me. He's lover of my soul. He's a lifter of my head. And when you acknowledge that, you realize who he is to you, you should have that freedom of worship.
Freedom of worship is something that a lot of people in church, they go, we worship the Lord, we sing songs, we do the songs, but that's not really worship. That's a form of worship. Your life has got to be a worship to Christ. Your life, living it daily. And I recently heard someone said, you know, they talk about fearing God. Why don't we replace that with worshiping God? The more our focus is on God and the more we worship him, the less we have to fear. And I think that getting into a service on Sundays, I think a lot of times there's intimidation. There's fear. We start thinking, well, what are people going to think about me? What are people going to, you know, I'm not going to sound good on this song. I don't know the song. Well, you know what? You don't need to know the song to sing it. Even if they'll lip sync it, God's not looking at how you do the song. He's looking at your heart. And if you're sitting there trying to figure out how you're going to impress people or please people, that's not the reason you're there for in the first place. Heart worship is more important than mouth worship. And some people, they feel like they can stand up and they can get all hallelujah, praise the Lord, raise their hands and all that. And some people, they feel better just sitting and just worshiping God. And I've seen people criticized for sitting. But you know what? If you got to sit down and worship the Lord because that's where your focus is, don't be afraid to sit down. But if you can jump up out of that seat and you can dance around that aisle and you can run around the church like church runners like we have, get into the worship. One time I was at a service and I heard him call it crazy praise. And I mentioned that to Tina, and Tina was like, crazy praise? Well, it's going beyond what the people would consider normal. And after all, if we're Christians, we're not normal folks.
Amen to that. I love to see when people dance and love to see when people let their hearts go to God. I mean, he's the only person that you can really do that. I mean, we let ourselves go when we watch a football game on TV in our house and our arms are going, yeah, you know, our football team has, you know, just did a touchdown, because I know I do. But you have that freedom with God. God is, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent. His eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of me, because my heart is loyal to him. He loves and delights in what you do. When you think of him, he loves it. It fills up his heart that, oh, Curtis thought of me. Curtis loves me, or Tina loves me, and he sends that love back in a big way.
Yes, when it goes out, it comes back. We never go empty. When we pour ourselves out, Christ automatically fills us up. And he fills us up not just so we stay full, but that we keep pouring ourselves out. But once again, we're letting him do it, because if we do it, we may mess up. But if he does it, he knows how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. And the thing is I listen to a lot of songs in church, and people say, well, we worship the Lord. We worship the Lord. But I want Tina to talk about the difference of a worship song versus a hymn or just singing.
Well, worship songs are that you're worshiping the Lord, that you are at the altar, you know, and that you're worshiping Him. Praise is more of that you are praising Him for what He's done in your life. And a worship is more of you're worshiping for who He is. There are worship songs, there are praise songs, there are battle songs, the hymns, you know, victory in Jesus, you know, those are songs, the hymns that, you know, are powerful hymns. We allow ourselves to know that everything that Jesus has done was victorious on the cross. And so when you're praising Him, I praise you because of who you are. I praise you because you've created me. I've praised you for all that you've given to me. I thank you. I'm grateful, you know, and worship is, you know, on my knees. And it's like, Lord, I need you. I need you more than anything else in this world. I worship you. You kind of can put the two together, you know, praise and worship. It kind of goes together. But, you know, if you look at David had songs. He was the only king that had songs that would have songs full of worship and praise and happiness and joy and sometimes sadness, and then put everybody else down and and then turn around and, I mean, against his enemies. And he had songs that were battle songs that, you know, wipe out the whole enemy, you know. Then he would start rejoicing in the Lord because he won, mm-hmm. You know. There's a lot of things, the intimacy songs that you want to sing to God. There's love songs that you want to sing to God. I hope I answered your question.
Well, listeners, there's one song I like. It's called I Was Created to Worship the Lord. We were all created to worship God, and we all have different ways of worshiping the Lord. Some of us worship the Lord quietly. Some of us worship the Lord with that joyful noise, because some of us can't sing. I'm not going to go there. I've been told I can sing, and I've been told I can sing solo. So I don't really know if I'm good or not, but God is the one that is the one that my voice matters to. I'm not a singer like Tina. You won't catch me going around the world and singing. One of the things that God uses me in is God uses me in encouraging people. And I hope today that you have been encouraged. I want to take a moment and not discuss the interview for a second. I want to basically give a shout out to a business in town on Broadway, 131 Broadway. And I don't know if you guys are eaters like myself, but I love to eat. I think my guest loves to eat too. And so I wonder how many of you out there have heard of a restaurant called Smokin' Mo's. Well, Smokin' Mo's, if you're out there listening, keep listening, because they're going to throw out a certificate here sooner or later for Smokin' Mo's. But I want to say that I went there on Sunday for my parents' 46th anniversary. Great food, great service, great hospitality. They really care for their customers. You will not leave unsatisfied. You will not leave not being satisfied. You will leave completely satisfied and completely filled. And I hope you'll give them, I hope that you will go in and try their food. They're open from, I don't know the exact time that they're open. Anyways, folks, yeah, restaurant hours. I'd say 11 o'clock in the morning till probably 9 o'clock at night. And you can verify that. The phone number to them is 891-6677. 891-6677. Also, I wanted to share with you folks that this is the fourth week that we've been on the air, and I'm really looking for feedback. I'm really looking for people to call in and to give me what they feel about the show. If they like the show, if there's things I could do to improve. I'm going to admit, I'm not perfect when I do these shows. I want to bring you scriptures. I want to bring you things that are really important for your soul to be encouraged, to be lifted up, because all around us is bad news. We can look at the bad news or we can listen to the good news. So people I bring on here are all about testimonies. They're all about what God is doing in them, how He's created in them a heart to do something for Him, not an obligatory mission that they're on, but a desire to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that also leaves the door open. If you guys need ministry, if you guys need to talk to any of my guests or want to talk to them, they're going to throw their numbers out weekly so you'll have someone to call, someone you can share, someone you can talk to. If someone out there wants to have a concert in their church, Tina will be glad to give you her information. But one of the things that I remembered was asking her some of the favorite scriptures that she has that speaks to her. So now we're going to go back and have her speak about the scriptures that speaks to her.
My favorite scripture right now, because I have a lot, but right now it's, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their testimony, that all of us may be one. Jesus spoke that prayer, John 17:21. My heart is heavy because I see a lot of our churches are not together like they should be. We have so many different churches that are here, Christian churches, and they're beautiful. And I've played at a lot of churches here in Chico and also in Orville and down in Sacramento. And I think that we need to come together. We used to have Love Chico, which was a few years ago, and it was beautiful. There was, like, the churches were helping clean up the city. We were coming together as one. There was love. There was a lot of love. And during that time, there was not a lot of crime going on in town. There was not a lot of, our level of homelessness was down. And there's power in that, in unity. And God says there's power in unity. And I feel that our prayers for each other, that we need to see each other. We need to see who Christians are. We need to see each other's face. We need to have that kindred spirit that we are one in Christ. And our denominations have split us up. You know, I'm this denomination, I'm that. We're not. We are all in Jesus. We are one. We are all one. And as long as you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead, there shouldn't be anything else. There shouldn't be. We have communion. We agree on that. And I just feel that we need to come together to bring ourselves together and be one in Christ.
Yeah, there is that importance that we do not stay stranded on an island by ourselves, but we come together. The Bible says, let us come together, reason together, and that we have fellowship one with another. You know, fellowship is important. Relationships are important. You know, I don't want to just go to church on Sunday and not know anybody and throughout the rest of the week not have anyone I can turn to or talk to. Or, you know, and there's some people, they just go to church on Sunday and get there right when it starts, get there right when it ends, and you don't take the time to really get to know people. And relationship is important. And you know what? I don't care if I fellowship with a Baptist. I don't care if I used to be, I can only fellowship with people in my church. Now that I understand grace, I don't want to just fellowship with people in my church. I do want to be careful, because there are some people out there that we would consider cult or religious cults. And I'm not out there bashing anyone, but there are certain people that believe contrary to scripture. But those churches that are scriptural, that are scripture based, those are the churches that we need to link up with. We need to partner up with. We need to come together. Bible says there is that a cord of three cannot easily be broken. Bible also says wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. Bible says if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. I wonder what 100 people could put to flight. You know, we really need to focus on, why are we worshiping? Why are we here? We're not here to live in this beautiful world forever, folks. I believe, I don't know when, it's not up to me to figure it out or to talk about it, because I don't know when, but we know that the Lord is coming soon. And the reason why we sing, the reason why we do this show, is to encourage you not to lose hope. To know that Christ is your hope. He is the hope of glory. He's in you. And he has great things in store for you. And one day you will see him face to face. It may be a year. It may be 2 years. It may be 5 years. Don't lose hope. Know that he will come again soon. But my guest, Tina, has something else she'd like to share with you guys.
I believe that all of us are truly loved by God and his son, Jesus Christ. You know, it's that we've been marked with a seal. The seal of Jesus Christ. You know, we heard the gospel of salvation, the message of truth, and the promise of the Holy Spirit. You know, and I feel my job in worship is to point people to and back to Christ and to remind them who we are in him. You know, he is our defender, our Messiah, our Yeshua. He's our Lord of Lords. He's our King of Kings. He's our Savior. He is so many things. And I just want you to grab on to anything that is of God. You know, anything that is of him, because everything that is of him is good. And keep your mind on heavenly things. You know, whatever's true, noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And place those in your heart. It's not easy. It isn't. Because, you know, there are times when we have things happen all the time in this world. You think you have a great day, another person has an awful day. But keeping focus on Christ, Jesus, you have it. You have it in the palm of your hand. You have all of my troubles, all of my worries, all of my concerns in your hand. And I release it. I surrender it and go bowling.
You meant to say have fun.
I know. It's still the same.
You know, the Christian walk doesn't have to be hard, boring, dull, dry, difficult. I've heard people say, oh, the Christian walk is hard. But we're not done. We got 15 minutes, my dear. Anyways, the Christian walk is not hard. The Christian walk is not difficult if we allow Christ to walk by our sides, if we praise him in the midst of the storm. Sometimes he'll calm our storm. Sometimes he calms us. Sometimes we don't think he's calming anything and he's there all alone. Sometimes he picks us up and carries us through the muck and the mire that we're in front of, and we think we're all alone because we only see one set of footprints in the sand. You might remember that poem or that plaque on the wall, one set of footprints. There's been many times I didn't think God was there for me, but as he is for my guest, he's there for me too. And folks, he's there for you. If you go to a church on Sunday, get in and worship God with all your heart. Get in and praise him. You don't have to wait till Sunday to worship God. Turn on some music now and get the Holy Ghost dance going and get the jumping and jiving in Jesus. Have a great day today in the Lord. When the trials come and when the problems come, praise the Lord through it all. You'll be able to make it. You'll be able to see his help, his peace in your life, his strength in your life. Anyways, I'm going to turn it back over to my guest and have her share a little bit more with you from her heart. She can take her time for a few minutes and share, and then we'll do a prayer and hopefully we can close out and I might say something right before we end the show. Remember though, folks, if you want to call me up, you can call me up. The station number is 894-7325. Alrighty, here she is again, Tina.
I went to Tennessee in June for the Christian Music Industry Academy, and I met worship leaders like all over the world, from Australia, New York, Florida. It was an amazing time that we were all there in one accord to praise God, and we all had different gifts. We had gifts from guys who could do the blues, who had ministries that were prison ministries. And, you know, the one song, the guy that really struck me was like, you know, it was like a Jesus, yeah. Jesus, yeah. If I'm not with Jesus, I'm like going down an elevator shaft. I mean, it was just awesome things. And we had fun and laughter. And it was beautiful. And I feel that spirit needs to come back together with us, with all denominations of Christian churches. And I wanted to read what God had given me this at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'll make it kind of quick. And it says, come home, come back to your father. Come, let me hold you in my arms, my son, my daughter. For things that are over your head are at the feet of Jesus. Give it back to me. You were never supposed to have that. Let it be mine forever. Gaze upon my face, and in your heart, you know that you are in the right place. See my smile, because my heart longed for your return. Turn not away from me anymore. I hold your hand. I hold your hand, my beloved. Rest assured that I will never leave you or forsake you. Trouble yourself no more, because there is joy, sunshine, freedom, and a beautiful night to dine at my banqueting table. Grace has been given freely as a crown upon your head. Arise, for the authority I have given you is alive and strong within. But the battle belongs to me. Awake your heart and ears to me and continue to meditate on my word so that the truth will ultimately reign and remain in your soul. Amen.
We're not done yet. We still have a few more minutes. But anyways, that's right. We need to focus on Christ. He's calling us to his banqueting table to come and dine, come and have a feast, come and celebrate, come and party. And I love to party. I love to socialize. I love to have a fun time with anyone that I can that loves God. And one of the things that I want Tina to share with you is she's done some of these banqueting table meetings, and she's seen some people touched. Maybe she can share some testimonies of some of the things that she's seen at some of these banqueting table meetings that she recently has done.
We did one in October, and we did another one in February, and we did it at the First Baptist Church in the Rimini that was happening on Saturday night. The first one that we did, God had already told me that it's not going to be associated with anything that man had created. So, which meant like, you know, pumpkins and the colors. He wanted the colors to be gold and white. And so people came. We passed out invitations, the golden invitations, and said that you are invited to the banqueting table. And people love these little gold certificates they received. And when they received them, they came in, they were hugged, they were loved. And we welcomed them with loving arms. And it was amazing. People were coming that had not stepped a foot in a church in like 2 and 3 years. Families had come that were not expecting the beauty of Christ. And we gave them love. We gave them affection. We had the word. We had music. And it was just a beautiful fellowship. And then our second one, we had like over 150 people. And we had two bands playing. And it was wonderful. And God provided every single time. And those colors were purple and silver and beautiful. Someone had given me these beautiful flowers to put on each table. So I really want to continue this. And we had fine china. We had everything was crystal. Everything was beautiful. I'm trying to find the scripture here in my notes here. So it's blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And so the Lord wanted me to bless those who were poor, lame, crippled, blind, in alleys and street. Give to those who can't give back. And we did that. Like I said, the golden invitations is like the golden ticket from Willy Wonka, except this was a lot better. This was like from heaven. And
I'd much rather have heaven than candy, by the way.
I don't know. I love chocolate. So, we mingled with everyone there. We hugged, we welcomed everybody at the banqueting table, and it was really beautiful. And I can't wait to do another one. And, it's just something that I knew that God initiated. I didn't have to beg. I didn't have to do anything. It just said, hey, God's given me this vision. And, the pastor saw that, they gave me money, and it was such a blessing to do this for God's children.
One of the things that I'm hearing Tina keep saying a lot of is being willing to be, if she may not be saying it in these words, but I keep picking up, be willing to do what God calls you to do. Be willing to go where God calls you to go. Some of us don't want to go where God calls us to go. I used to hear that song, Lord, please don't send me to Africa. Don't tell what God where to send you, what not to send you, what to do in your life, what not to do in your life, what to give you, what not to give you. Just enjoy the ride and be open to whatever He gives you. After all, it's not for you, it's for Him. And folks, know that the Lord, He is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. He loves you with an unconditional love. Can you fathom that? Can you say that you love your wife or your husband with that kind of love? I'm not married. I don't know what I would say if I was married. I mean, I'm sure the partners can drive each other insane sometimes. And only with Jesus can a couple have a happy marriage. My family just celebrated 46 years. And I can tell you, it hasn't always been the most wonderful, happy years, but they've stuck it together. Today, we see marriages lasting less than 5 years. People get frustrated. They quit. They give up. But you know what? When you focus on God and you go to Him and worship, it's amazing the things that He does for you, even though you're not doing it for that. But He loves you so much. He's so, like I said last week, He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you, and He's mad about you. He loves you with such a love that you'll never be able to understand. Anyways, we're going to have Tina say a couple more things, and then we'll be ready to close on out. Oh, by the way, I am going to give a gift certificate on this show, but it wasn't for Moe's. It's actually for John and Bond's Yogurt Shop, and it's a $5 certificate. And the back of the, you know, these people are Christians because the back of it says, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. I went in the other day and just gave a little note that I would like some certificates. And I got a call the next morning. And they said, yeah, we have some gift cards, certificates, come by and pick them up. So I did. They're only for the listeners. So I did. And would you believe it? They actually gave me enough to give away for one for the next 5 shows. So I don't have more than one to give away at a time, but I'm going to give it away. So if you be my second caller, and this will be done on, this will be a little bit of time before we will actually know who the second caller is. Anyways, the number for the show is 894-7325, or you can call me at 332-0826, and you'll want to call and be my second caller. You'll want to call and be my second caller. Number is 894-7325 or 332-0826. And remember, this is Saturday's program, so we're between 11 and 12. Anyways, I think I'm going to have Tina and I close out unless there's one of the things that she'd like to say. Oh, she says she's thorough. Anyways, she loved being a guest here, and she loved talking to you guys. And if you guys want to call her, feel free to give her a call. I think she gave her number out. And she hasn't yet. So she'll give her number out, and then we will say a prayer, and we'll end the show.
So if you want to reach me, you can talk about anything, because I love to talk. It's 530-321-0372. And if I don't answer right away, leave a message, because I do have a full-time job also. And if you want to hear the song that I wrote more than 1,000 times and become a fan, because I love fans, you can go to www.reverbnation.com/Fratena, F-R-A-T-E-N-A. And I just hope that you enjoy the song and that it touches your heart, as it has done a lot of other people that have told me they love it. And I hope to make a whole bunch of new friends. It'll be really cool.
She's going to be coming out and doing concerts. And if you guys give a call to her and let her know you want a concert, she'll be glad to set something up. I think she said she's going to start bookings in February. But if somebody wanted to call her now and try to set up something and they gave her a call, she'd probably be willing to figure out what she could do for them. Anyways, we're going to end in prayer. So, folks, I think I'm going to ask my guest today. Last week, my other guest and I, we took time to pray, but I think I'm going to have Tina pray us out, and we will say goodbye until next week from Christ Today. So, Tina, send us out with prayer.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. We give you all the glory, praise, and honor, because there's no one like you, Lord, and you love us with an everlasting love, a love that no one in this world could ever give us, you know, and it's not about possessions. It's not about anything, because he'll give you what you need in your, he'll give you what you need. He always has provided for you. And if we realize that, then we don't have to go out and be overwhelmed by this world. Lord, I just want each and every single listener to be blessed, and may your face shine upon them. May your love, just that you drench them with your love, Lord, and that whatever problem, whatever is going on in their life, it is in your hands. You are in control, and we just need to surrender it, let it go. Don't worry anything about it. And like I said, go out and have a good time, fun, and have a girl party, a guy party, a family party. Just bask in the glory of God.
Listeners, have a wonderful week. Hope to have you hearing the show next week. And next week, my special guest will be David Graybill. If you know him, praise God. If you don't know him, you'll get to. And we will talk to Tina again, hopefully in the future. Have a great week, folks.
Just listen through my heart, Lord. I can't say it in words sometimes. Can you please just listen through my heart?